not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, the 6th of June, 2007 edition of The American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, with you for the next 2 hours. June 6, 1944, that was D-Day. That's when they invaded Normandy. That was 63 years ago today. Quick moment of silence for all those guys who passed away. All right, that's enough. Let's get into the announcements real quick. I have a guest coming on today, Pastor Joe Schimmel, who's going to talk to us. I had some callers that called in a couple of weeks ago. We got on the subject of rock and roll, and this gentleman has a video out called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. I went in and perused around on his website, and I'm real interested to have this guy on the air and see what he has to say. So that's coming up. But first, Freedom to Fascism. If you want a copy, all you have to do is email Bobby at freedom777 at safe-mail.net. Again, that's freedom777 at safe-mail.net. As always, remember, don't buy any gas at Exxon or Mobil. Okay, we don't want the gas at $4 a gallon, and we want to boycott them because they're the ones that set the precedent for the gas prices. Don't forget, we're still on a pledge drive. We have a new address. We haven't moved yet, but our mail is starting to be forwarded over there. So if you want to make a note, if you haven't already made a donation and you wish to make a donation, please make it out to 2251, that's Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Again, that's 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can always call up at 800-724-2719, talk to either Sandra or Julie, and lovely ladies, pleasant voices. Give them a call. If you haven't already donated, send them $100, $50, or $25 if you can't afford $100. If you want to go online at republicbroadcasting.org, click on PayPal. You can make a donation. We've still got a little bit of coming back to do, folks. We need some more help. We're climbing out of the woods, but we're not quite there yet. So just remember how good you feel when you make a donation. Quick comment about the debate last night, in case you watched it. You know, what I find amazing, and I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow. I don't have time today, excuse me, because I have a guest coming up. But I'm going to talk a little bit about the debate tomorrow. What I find fascinating is they're approaching this from a new angle now, and they are trying to ignore that Ron Paul is even there. And what I mean by that is they're asking in questions, but when the commentators start talking about who won the debates or whatever, they talk about Giuliani, and they talk about Mitt Romney, and they talk about how McCain did or whatever, but they just ignore Ron Paul. Fascinatingly, though, as far as the voting on a vote.com poll, Ron Paul beat them all badly. He had 56% of the vote. Next to the second line was Rudy Giuliani with 16%. On another poll, let's see, where is it here? Give me a second. Oh, here we go. The MSNBC poll, Ron Paul. Who stood out from the pack? Ron Paul at 64%. The next one down was Rudy Giuliani with 9.1%. Who showed the most leadership qualities? Ron Paul again, 61%. Rudy Giuliani, 10%. And who won the most? Who was the most convincing candidate? Ron Paul, 63%. I guess that tells us something, so we want to keep telling people about Ron Paul. The more time he gets, the better chance he has, folks. I'll be back in three. This is Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with me. I got a good show for you today. Be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com, 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Come a little bit closer and listen to what I have to say. You know, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago on my show, that I happened to be walking around downtown in Round Rock, and there's a little bar on the corner of Main Street and whatever the Mays Street, I believe it is. And I looked on the side, and there was this musician that was playing in there that night. His name was Joe Hell. And I thought I'd stick around and listen to what this guy played for a little bit. So I walked in, sat down, and I listened to him. And this guy's probably 21, 22 years old. He's not very old. And he was burning up a guitar that was, I mean, faster than Jimi Hendrix could play. And I revere Jimi Hendrix because I'm a musician, and I thought he's one of the best guitar players that I had ever seen. But at any rate, I got to thinking about this, and I was scrolling around on a website, and I brought it up on the air, and I can't remember whether I ran across it on a website or whether one of my listeners called in or whatever, but I ran across this video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And this guy that I saw down at this bar, you know, with the name of Joe Hell, it kind of clicked in my head, and I thought, well, maybe there's something to this. So I went in, I found this website, I went in and I looked at a preview of this video, which is about 29 minutes long. And I thought, well, you know, there's something to this. I mentioned it again on the air, and I had a couple of callers call in. Michael from New York was one of them. Don Nikoloff talked a little bit about it. I thought, well, it'd be interesting to get this guy up to just see what's going on with this and see if there's any validity to it. And so with that, I'm going to bring Pastor Joe Schimmel, who evidently produced this video, which is a four-hour video, and I'm going to give out his website. It's www.goodfight.org, and you can go in there and peruse around a little bit. But in the meantime, let me get Pastor Joe Schimmel up on the air, and let's talk to him and find out what he's got to say about this. Pastor Joe, are you with us?
I'm with you right now. Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Hey, it's not a problem. Did you hear that story I just told?
No, I heard your last like 20 words.
Okay, I was just telling the listeners that I was in. We're here in Round Rock, Texas, and I've only been here for a few months. And I was walking around downtown, and there's this little place on the corner. It's a bar that had a sign for this guy that was playing music one night, and his name was I'm sure it's not his real name, but they had him advertised as Joe Hell. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I decided I'd walk in there and see who this guy was. And I watched him play. He's no more than 21, 22 years old, Pastor. And this guy was burning up a guitar as good or better than Jimi Hendrix. And at that young age, I thought, you know, there's something to this. At one point, I ran across your website. And I'm not sure whether I was perusing through, just looking at music, or if a couple of callers had called in and asked me about it or told me to go here. But at any rate, I watched this 29-minute preview clip of your video, and I thought, well, I wonder if this guy that's playing at that bar has sold his soul for rock and roll. So I had a couple of callers that asked about this video, and I wanted to get you up on the air to talk about it. And I understand that you were or are a musician now, or you used to be, right?
Well, I used to, as a teenager, I was heading in that same direction as Joe Hell,
okay.
But thank God I'm heaven bound, and I still play guitar off and on. I've written songs that have been published and have had Christian airplay, praise music that glorifies God and the things of wholesome things, family and things of encouragement that promote health not only to our nation but just community and people in general.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I definitely I was steeped in rock and roll, and I'd be the first one to laugh if I heard there was anything regarding Satanism, or not Satanism in a sense. I mean, we all knew that people flirted with Satanism in the music scene back in the late 70s when I was involved in it. But as far as it being a tangible, at least a spiritual reality, that to me seemed ludicrous. I was wise in my own eyes, as a teenager, and to me, rock and roll was my God. I even had written a song that was supposed to be like a play song. I mean, came to me all at once, and it was about selling my soul to Satan and actually selling out my family. In fact, the song was called it's called My Family or My Soul, and it started out and said I was falling forever deeper into the hole. I could not be freed, for the devil was grasping my soul, and I could hear my mother screaming and my sisters dreaming and my father crying and my brother dying. And at first I was troubled at the devil for the reason, and the choice had dawned, it would be my soul or that of my family's to be treason. I could not be a win to be a devil or a demon. Then I hit the final bottom to say goodbye to my family and the song, and then the last part of the song before it breaks into guitar solo states, and then I won, or maybe so, and then I left with my soul. And that mentality, I mean, you look at that and you think about family and the destruction of the family and the pain and anguish that children go through, and gang violence and everything that comes from the destruction of the family unit. And you look at those lyrics and you think they're horrific. But as a rocker, my friends and I, that kind of mentality was basically you're sold out to your God, which is rock music, which you put before everything. And as I continued to write songs glorifying the whole rock music scene, I was, 16, 17 when this was going on. I was also beginning to read books on the power of the subconscious mind,
mm-hmm.
Much of the same principles that are out right now in the video called The Secret, which was publicized, became number one book as well when Oprah Winfrey published or had a panel guest from on her TV show promoting The Secret on February 8th and February 16th. It went through the roof. And those techniques are using the power of your subconscious mind, or tapping into the power within. And at first I thought it was just, my subconscious mind. I'm just getting in touch with my subconscious mind. And Joseph Murphy and Maxwell Maltz wrote Psycho-Cybernetics and The Power of the Subconscious Mind, two different books, both extolling basically the same principles. So I began to visualize, meditate my success. One of the books even talked about it, hey, if you want to be a better guitar player, you can visualize playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, I was bombarded by all kinds of occult experiences, and being 16, 17 years old and really not understanding the spiritual world at all. And, you know, I thought, I was bombarded by experiences that went way beyond anything the books talked about. And, I began to write songs that took on a very mystical meaning. Instead of Little Miss Medium, it was, Little Miss Muffet, I'm sorry, it was Little Miss Medium, can you waken the dead masters of your sleep? I had no idea that occultists were called mediums who channeled spirits, and I didn't have any idea of the Bible talking about a spiritual warfare against God, against, family, against righteousness. And as I began to open myself up to these things, I became a new ager from my own lyrics. I was initiated through my own lyrics into a new age thought. I'd write songs about Tiki Tom, the Indian boy, and his, reincarnated states. And interestingly enough, I even wrote a song which was just like what the book The Secret talks about, that's so popular now on the DVD, in my lyrics. And one of my songs was called Secret World. And it starts out, when she sleeps, she builds colorful worlds. In her mind, she's the queen who alters time. In her right hand she holds a wand, and in her left a bishops and pawns. And at her feet all characters kneel. Through her thoughts they come and go. And she's magic, majestic, but explicitly eccentric. So she would visualize this power, this success, and she'd get it. Well, unbeknownst to me, Satan had offered Jesus Christ up there. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time, and he said, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you these kingdoms. And ultimately, the Bible talks about a global government that very wicked people would bring about. And the ultimate Antichrist will bow the knee to Satan and accept that kingdom. But what's amazing is Satan does offer power. And as I began getting into these altered states of consciousness, I began to experience power that was beyond my consciousness. And at first I thought, wow, this is supposed to be my subconscious mind, but it transcended, superseded, incredibly, any concept of the subconscious mind, because I actually opened myself up to spiritual entities, demonic beings that I didn't even know existed, who began to communicate with me as I continued to write music. And when I realized that these beings were evil, I was trying to understand it. I didn't have a Christian worldview.
Okay, well, let me stop you there for just a second.
Sure.
Okay, and let's slow down here for a second. You say they began to communicate with you. And I want to interject this here, Pastor Joe, because as I looked, I reviewed this video, the 29-minute, preempt to the four-hour video. And for some people, like myself, who grew up in the 60s, I was a great Beatles fan. And then in here it says, the Beatles, and I can see the occultish things that, some of the things that they did in Sgt. Pepper and so forth. But, it kind of, I was taken aback a little bit by this with some of these groups in here that I really revered as, as a teenager. And so when you say that, and obviously that, some of these groups, and we're talking about the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Kurt Cobain, Marilyn Manson, and so on and so forth, you're saying that in your experience, these demonic spirits started to communicate with you. In what form? How did they do that, Pastor Joe?
I'd say two or three specific ways. One way was I'd wake up 2-3 in the morning, mm-hmm. and music would be blasted. And it wouldn't be off my stereo. It would be, in my consciousness. I'm talking audibly as I'm speaking to you, to the point where I could, it was music I'd never heard before. Lyrics came to me through what's called automatic writing, and that's how spirits communicate in the occult. That's a staple of occult fare. The other way was audibly on a couple different occasions. A couple things were happening to me in the midst of one of my mystical experiences that kind of frightened me. I'd go into a state of paralysis, became kind of a staple of my own experience, where I couldn't move, and there'd be this, it sounds kind of strange, but when you start to study occult phenomena, you see it's universal among many people that have been called, I should say, in the opposite direction of God's calling. And, Oprah Winfrey has said that she's come in touch with the universal hum, and that's what she gave her success, most popular song of all time, Stairway to Heaven. The lyrics, state, if your head is humming, it won't go in case you don't know. The Piper is calling you to join him. Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, full-blown Crowley and Satanist. But my own experiences are a couple different times where I...
Okay, hold it.
Okay.
Is the music playing? Okay, let's hold that thought. We got to take a break. Stick with me. All right, we'll be back in three. This is Michael Herzog with my special guest, Pastor Joe Schimmel. We'll be right back with They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Stick with us.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas, with my special guest, Pastor Joe Schimmel, who pastors a church in Simi Valley, California, and he put together a video called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. This is a short segment coming up. We've got about 5 minutes in this set. Pastor Joe, I wanted to ask you, now, you talked about the hum. You mentioned Oprah Winfrey and this hum. Is it some kind of a subconscious metaphysical thing that you go into, or what?
Well, not anymore.
I'm taking you back then. Okay.
Yeah, 25 years ago, before I was a Christian, mm-hmm. That's one of the experiences I'd undergone. There's different ways that, from the 60s and 70s, after the basic British invasion musically, and then Eastern invasion through a lot of the bands, that different mystical experiences are manifested. It was kind of crazy because at 16, 17 years old, that was one of the main experiences I'd go into. And several people, I can't tell you how many people have come to me after hearing that, or they go into states of paralysis and when they're under some kind of demonic attack. And every once in a while, there's the humming experience. I found that more with artists, whether it's Jimi Hendrix in the book Excuse Me While I Kiss the Sky. After I became a Christian, I started finding this all over the place. And Jimi Hendrix, we go into a state of paralysis, and he hears a strange sound going through his head. As I mentioned, Stairway to Heaven. Mm-hmm. Your head is humming, it won't go, in case you don't know, the piper is calling to join him. The piper in that song is the deceiver who they have sided with. You can go all the way back, it's kind of crazy, you can go way back to like Robert Schumann, the German composer at the time of, many of the classical type musicians. He was a real prolific writer, and he would wake up at, early morning hours, and he'd be writing music proficiently, and his wife said it was amazing. He'd be looking in a state of ecstasy, just looking and transcribing the music. And she says, and then the music of what he thought were angels, she said, wrote this in her diary, became the music of demons, and it became very horrid. He may have been hearing some of the heavy metal or rap music they had planned for the future. I don't know. It was kind of strange. And then she says that he took off and freaked out and threw himself in the Rhine River, and he ended up in an insane asylum. But in her diary, she said he would hear this, this one continuous note. And it's interesting, and I don't know other than to say that throughout the occult, when you hear some of the Buddhists and the different mystics get into an altered state of consciousness, often they're oming, and they'll make the om, they're trying to mimic often the sounds that they've heard from the spiritual world and try to make contact with that spiritual world. But that part of the spiritual world is the demonic side. It's not, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He said, he alone is the door, and Paul says, there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Apostle Peter said, there's only one name given under heaven by which we must be saved, the name of Jesus. Jesus said, if you try to go up some other way, it's you're a thief and a robber. If you reject Jesus Christ, you seek spiritual power by another means, you open yourself up to these forces, and they communicate in many different ways. It's a reality. I've seen this. This is just one experience, but I can jettison even the experiences, and that's what the video is pretty much about. I use their own words, one rock star after another.
Well, let me stop you there and mention, and this, I didn't get this, I don't believe I got this through your video, but I remember an interview with Paul McCartney, and this was several years ago, and I don't even remember who the interviewer was. But the question was asked to McCartney of how did him and Lennon write so many songs and have, they were coming out just one after another, after another, after another, really
right.
Quick back then. And he was asked how they were able to do that. And he did, and I remember him quote, it's almost a verbatim quote, he said, it just came to us out of the sky. Now, and I thought that was kind of strange, because they're evidently, and then I watched your preempt video, 29 minutes, and I saw other people in there and other quotes by, Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones, and some of the quotes made by Bon Jovi and Queen and so forth. And there evidently is some kind of a vibrational, spiritual plane that they enter into.
No, you're exactly right. It's interesting that you brought up Paul McCartney. Having not talked together about what we talk about here, other than knowing I was talking about the music scene, we have a lot of different videos, because just last night I was reading Newsweek and the present issue, and I'm not a Newsweek fan. I like to, I read both sides of everything, and Paul McCartney was, he's one of the main stories in Newsweek, and they're asking him about the song Yesterday and how it was the most played, or most, I should say, it's the most copied song of all time. Thousands of different people have covered it.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him, do you get tired of hearing it? And he said, no way, would you get tired of hearing it if you wrote it? And then he talks about it being a very special song, because he describes a mystical experience where he woke up in the morning and it was given to him. It was right there. And that's what I was going through. I would meditate, and all of a sudden, it wasn't as though I was writing, thinking out these elaborate, chord progressions and these elaborate lyrics. I'd look at my lyrics afterwards and read them over and over again, and not understand some of them until much later, and some of it I understand a little bit later. Well, same with the music. I would hear the music, and I read that last night. That's in this issue of Newsweek. I said, it didn't shock me. I said, well, this is par for the course. I said, unfortunately, people read that and think that's interesting, but they won't put the pieces together that the Apostle Paul said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. I mean, this is something that the ancients have known for ages, whether the Greeks or, every culture they have in the past, almost every single culture, major study done by a major university on anthropological study found that the vast majority of ancient societies believed in a demonic realm. And I think that's important to understand. There is a spiritual war afoot.
Okay, we've got to go to a break. That was the short segment, Pastor Joe. So we got a 3-minute break. We'll be back with a long segment coming up. Have more time to talk. This is Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, Pastor Joe Schimmel, talking about they sold their souls for rock and roll. See you in three. Stick with us. It gets better.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
We're back. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas with my special guest, Pastor Joe Schimmel, who put together the video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And Pastor Joe, I mean, I could go on all day with questions about this. And I wanted to ask you a few specific things. In looking at this video, first of all, how did you put this together? Did you just go in and do a lot of research and start pulling different clips from quotes on musicians or what?
Oh, it's strange because when I became a Christian, I had grown up in the same neighborhood in Simi Valley, which was known as the Stoner Track. And so a lot of my friends, you know, we all had a lot of the same experience as far as, you know, partying and, you know, the kind of, you know, mentality that's, you know, was later resurrected again with a lot of the, you know, alternative rock later in the late 90s. And when I became a believer, you know, I had family members and I had friends throughout the neighborhood who knew me as, you know, the guy, you know, was in the music and everything else and was, you know, then all of a sudden it was like, wow, I did a 180. And to relate to them, I began to open up the Bible that blew off this dusty book and began to read it and thought, wow, here's this book that I thought, man, we were so wise in our own minds. And this book actually talks about a spiritual warfare. It has all these prophecies that have been fulfilled. And currently I saw prophecies being fulfilled. And it was a whole new, I thought, wow, you know, I knew one thing because I cried out to God in the midst of one of my demonic experiences. Actually, it was that humming experience, and I couldn't even move my mouth. But in my heart, I cried out to God. And it happened a couple times within a week's time. One time it was more vague. It was only if this was good, because I didn't know God even existed. And the experience stopped. And I could never get that experience to stop. I had to wait it out. And I began to, like, you know, try to visualize when it happened, thinking that was probably when my visualization was most powerful. Well, you know, days or a week or so later, same experience came upon me. And this time I called out more directly on God and cried out to him and said, and it stopped again. That time I knew it wasn't a coincidence that it stopped both times, and I also realized that God is far more powerful than Satan in the demonic world, and I realized that there was an evil world, because I was beginning to have more and more evil experience. I was, you know, my lyrics were very Jim Morrison-like as far as, you know, macabre, you know, like baby stroller in the creek, madman hangs within the week, and lyrics like that. And when I cried out to God, I knew, I was looking at my lyrics saying, why am I glorifying evil and Satan? I thought, well, my subconscious is just going to, you know, giving me what's going to be popular in the 80s, you know, very heavy satanic lyrics, which were, by the way, in the 1980s, that's when the whole heavy metal scene hit, and it got incredibly satanic. My music would, my lyrics would have fit right in that genre. And as I came to Christ, right around 81, just before I turned 18 years old, I began to try to communicate what was going on to my friends. I looked around, I said, man, everybody I know is being led, you know, not by the Bible, not by the Word of God, not by truth, but they're being led by feelings and music and Black Sabbath and Ozzy, you know, Ozzy had just split up and then he'd come out, and I'd just seen my friends, just all going for that, and I wanted to reach them with the truth, and I shared my experiences with them. They already knew I was going through things. They saw I did a 180, you know, they're probably scratching their head, but they knew something was heavy because they saw my lyrics, they saw my music. But what I was able to do, I said, you know what, I have to show them evidence. So I began, I said, you know what, I know that a lot of these bands have gone through the same things I've gone through, but excelled in even further and didn't quit. So I began to read their biographies and look at their interviews, and one after another, Michael, I began to see, I mean, the common denominator, I mean, was crazy. It was contact with the spiritual world, influence from the spiritual world musically, and the lyrics were contradicting the message of the Bible and actually fulfilling what the Bible said would happen in the future. And Paul said in the last days there would be a departure from the faith, and there would be doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. Seducing spirits are spirits that use music and other means to seduce and preach their doctrines. Music is a great way to teach, and as I began to share that with them, and they'd seen their own music, the same common denominator, the spiritual deception, I'd show them what the Bible said about it. And one after another, I got to see my closest friends come to Christ. All of, you know, my three sisters, my brother, my mom came up at a salvation call at a church, and all of them are right now serving at the fellowship where I pastor. I've been Christian now for 25 years, and they all have involved in various ministries, reaching out to people and helping people in need and sharing the gospel. So that developed as people began to bring more people over my house, and then bigger groups and crowds. I realized I couldn't just hold up albums anymore. I had to put it on slide, and then because they're, you know, you need to be able to see in the back row. And then eventually it just became, and we have the 10-hour version. They sold their souls for rock and roll. And by and large, most of it is me letting rock stars tell the story, well, what they've been in touch with.
Yeah, let me stop you there and mention again, you know, this is a progressive thing, because it's not just something that transcended over the last few years. It's been going on for many, many years. And
right,
as I looked in and I watched this, you know, this 29-minute clip, some of it is very distressing, and I'm not just to me, but to a lot of people, because some of these people were actually literally heroes to us growing up. For example, and you know, let's take for example Jerry Lee Lewis. Now, I noticed a little clip in there where he was in an argument with Sam Phillips at Sun Records,
right?
And he mentioned in there that, I mean, he told Sam Phillips right straight up that he was possessed, and he meant it.
Yeah, it's crazy. The footage we have, I mean, that's right there, audio, the argument in the studio right before they recorded Great Balls of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to record it because he's possessed by the devil, and Sam Phillips, you know, talked him into it.
Well, but another issue I have here, and this is, I mean, I understand, I can believe that more with Jerry Lee. I mean, let's face it, Great Balls of Fire, hello, you know, but, and that argument took place just before he made that record. But on the flip side of the coin, same recording, or another recording office, same studio, Elvis Presley. Now, we all, being an Elvis fan like I was, or still am, you know, to a degree, but there's a lot of Elvis fans still out there, that Elvis kind of portrayed himself as a God-loving Christian, you know, to a degree he did. But, you know, and according to your video, that Elvis was, again, he is one of those that sold his soul for rock and roll. Now, is there a clip of him in there or any words that he said? Because I didn't, you know, I didn't see any of that.
Yeah, we have on the 3 hour, but mostly on the 10 hour, we have about a half an hour on Elvis, only because he was, you know, as you call him, the king of rock and roll, played such a significant role in the formation of the style and what have you. And everybody looks back to Elvis. And so, and it's interesting because through that half hour, most of what we deal with are, I mean, I have clips of Elvis's bodyguards at Memphis Mafia, two of which were his cousins, you know, Sonny West and Red West, mm-hmm. and actually live with him. And I let them, I take clips from what, you know, their story about Elvis, and then I go into Elvis's own views and what have you. And this is what's incredible. Larry Geller, people that were closest to him, he was, you know, Larry Geller's best man in his wedding and what have you. He's his hairstylist and wrote If I Can Dream, and he's a New Ager. But what's interesting is when you look at Elvis Presley, and what we have to do is keep in mind if Satan came out, you know, and promoted, you know, Marilyn Manson in the 1950s, when Elvis came out, I mean, Elvis's hips were enough to shake the nation, and, you know, Ed Sullivan had to shoot him above the waist the second time he showed up on his show. You know, if Marilyn Manson, you know, he would have never, you know, made it anywhere. In fact, you had to have Elvis before you had Alice Cooper, and you had to have Alice Cooper before you had Marilyn Manson. It's a progression of evil. It's kind of like the frog in the pot. You throw a frog in the pot, and
right.
It's hot water. It jumps out, but if you slowly turn up the heat, that's what's happened to us. Elvis was actually, when he first came out, was quite controversial. What's interesting, though, if you look at Elvis's life, and you have to say, okay, was he a Christian? Was he following Christ? Did he show the fruit of a Christian? And did he have the doctrine of a Christian? You know, was he teaching, you know, was he, you know, was he into the Jesus Christ of Scripture? And I'd have to say, on both counts, you know, a resounding no. First of all, he was in touch with the spirit world from his youth. He felt his brother Aaron had died at birth, was the one that was in communication with him at first.
Mm-hmm.
Then as he got older and older, he gave success to not Aaron, because he realized it wasn't his brother, but he a brotherhood of spiritual entities, and that he was carrying the New Age message, and he hoped for a time. If you read Larry Geller's book about him and his relationship with him, he even talks about Elvis's gospel band was called Voice. Well, Voice was taken from The Voice of Silence, a book written by Madame Blavatsky, who started the Theosophical Society, which is a one-world group and was bent on bringing New Age spirituality and a global religion, which we see forming right now. And he called The Voice of Silence. He even pushed Blavatsky's teaching so much that when he was in Vegas near the end of his career, when he was still doing shows, he would open up Blavatsky's book, The Voice of Silence, and he had it, you know, heavily underscored and dog-eared, and he'd quote from it on stage. One time even came out when Don Rickles, you know, was on stage before him as the opening, and had Don Rickles and asked Don Rickles to read quotes from Blavatsky's book. And she's a mystic. She claims her books like Voice of Silence and Isis Unveiled were dictated to her as she was a medium, bringing forth the spirit, voices from the spirit world. In fact, her publishing company, Michael, was called Lucifer Publishing, later changed to Lucis Trust. And she dreamed of a time when there would be a world leader that would bring a global government. All this is prophesied in the Bible. But Elvis was in touch with the spiritual world. And when I show accounts from his bodyguards, and his bodyguards, these are, you know, these were his best friends, talk about how, you know, they even wrote a book about him, you know, Elvis, What Happened. And people could still probably get that book. And they talk about how, you know, he believed that he was, you know, he was, you know, they were his disciples, and he taught that Mary Magdalene had sex with Jesus, and he, you know, she would take, he'd take care of her when she got stoned, and I mean, his view of Jesus Christ was not the view of the biblical Jesus. It was esoteric, Gnostic, now Dan Brown Jesus. All those seeds were being planted way back there, way back then through, you know, Elvis and the Beatles and the Stones and what have you. But they even talk about how he was having relations, sexual relations with Priscilla when she was 14 years old. I mean, that's, you know, that's pedophilia. And he would visit graveyards at 3 a.m. in the morning to see the dead slabs, and he believed that he was in touch with these forces and that he had occult powers over the crowds, and he would manipulate them like Hitler. I mean, they said some incredible things about what he, in fact, even when he died, you look at his death, when he died, and he was sitting there on the toilet, right, when he, you know, he was reading a book called Psychic Energy, which is about how to transmit these spiritual forces. So Elvis Presley, I mean, when we look at the whole rock scene, it has just transformed the views of America and many of the principles that we were founded upon as a nation, and to where now there's this whole postmodernistic, relativistic, you know, esoteric, Eastern, mystical, experimental viewpoint, which totally opens oneself up to the spiritual world. There's way more that we have on Elvis in there that's just, you know, just amazing, right down to the way he dressed, like the Eastern gurus from the East on stage, some of his outfits, and go through all of these, this crazy stuff from his own words. And you know, he sings, you know, in the song If I Can Dream, you know, about how we can redeem ourselves and fly. And that's opposite of the Bible. Jesus said he that saves himself or saves his life will lose it. He that loses it will save it. And he didn't believe, if you go through Geller's book, he didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God. According to Geller's book, Elvis's belief system was that he himself was a modern-day Christ, and Jesus was just one of many. And this fits right into what 1 John, the book of Revelation, talks about, the spirit of Antichrist and the end-time delusion, that we can all basically be God. Brings us back to the whole lie. In the beginning, where Satan wanted to be God, said to be like the Most High God, told Eve, you shall be as God. Then the Antichrist himself will sit in the temple of God, it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, showing himself that he is God. Right now, the religion of America and Hollywood, the fastest growing religion, is a New Age religion, that we are God. And that lie is being promoted in preparation for the ultimate lie, and which is not something, it's not my opinion. This is what scholars have believed for centuries, that, you know, read the prophecies of Daniel and 2 Thessalonians, Jesus is teaching the Olivet Discourse. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21.
Right. Revelations will give us a good overview.
Yeah, right? Revelation.
Yeah. Listen, one more thing on Elvis real quick. I mean, is it, in your opinion, part of his early demise, and obviously he was hooked on drugs and got progressively worse as he got older, do you think that part of the reason why he died at the age he did with as many drugs as he was taking could have been an inner battle within himself?
I believe a lot of these guys have inner battles. I believe there was probably an inner battle with Elvis, because I don't believe when he first started out, I do believe he was opened up already, because from birth he'd already been going through, not birth, in his mind he says, you know, when his brother died, that's when, you know, that he's been communicating with him since. When you look at that battle right there, there's a spiritual entity there. He's also brought up in a region, you know, of the world where the gospel is preached, and understanding gospel music, gospel songs. And it's one thing to know what the Bible teaches, another thing to submit to the God of the Bible. And as Elvis progressed, I think there was a probably some tension. I think as he grew, his mysticism and his experiences, we can see them being more and more defined according to New Age experience as he got older. I mean, at first he was trying to make heads or tails of what the spiritual realm was, this being that was contacting him, thought it was his twin brother. It was only later that he began to realize, hey, and the Bible teaches that the dead go to either heaven or hell. They're not those spirits that are communicating with us in this world. The Bible says they're familiar spirits or demons that try to pretend that they're familiar spirits or Uncle John, but they're really demons. Satan himself, Paul says, comes as an angel of light. So I think what happened is now I don't know to the degree, but there, Elvis did go through mass struggles and guilt, and I see that with a lot of them. I mean, one time Jim Morrison says he was just, he was a bum actually in Venice Beach, quit, you know, UCLA, and he says it's there that he saw this whole concert situation in his head, and it was prepared, his subconscious had prepared the whole thing, and he was just taking notes at this fantastic rock concert. And later on in his journals called Wilderness, he identifies that same experience and says, I met the spirit of music, Satan, and he identifies it as Satan. But it's interesting, Jim Morrison had the same, he had some struggles, and he was at a bar one time crying, saying, for no reason, nobody knew why he was crying, he was telling everybody, I never mean to hurt so many people, I never mean to, and that could have been a personal experience, or that could have him been thinking of the larger thing going on. Jimi Hendrix, we show where Fane Pridgen, his girlfriend, who lived with him for some time, and Alan Douglas, the executive curator of his musical estate, went to his closest people to him, both talk, we play them their audios where they both say he was possessed, and that, you know, Fane Pridgen says he believed he was possessed by a demon and demons, and the music would just come out of him, and he would cry and be so tormented inside and pull his hair in the mirror, and she says that he wanted to go to a root lady and have this demon cast out of him. So sometimes there's experiences, there's an obvious battle that he was having, but he continued to go with it, and Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison both pushed this whole concept of hallucinogenic drugs and peace through mysticism and
the, can we toss Janis Joplin into the mix there? I mean, that was right in the same time period. You know, I believe she overdosed, right?
Yeah, she OD'd and you know, she was pushing the whole. I mean, her body when she was found dead was, you know, riddled with syphilis. I mean, incredibly riddled. I mean, just eaten away. It was amazing that she even, you know, communicated still, pain that she must have been in. And these were the results: drug overdoses, the breakup of families, you know, the insane asylums because of, you know, Eastern mysticism and different practices and all kinds of sexual promiscuity and all the STDs rising. I mean, before the 60s, there were only a couple known sexually transmitted diseases. Now there's over 200.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit of this movement has been just horrific. And but the thing is, we get so enamored by people and stars and charisma and the, maybe the what we could possibly be, you know, the God thing, that we don't realize that it's destroying. The very things we worship are destroying us.
All right, we got to stop there. We're going to take a break. This is Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, Pastor Joe Schimmel, talking about they sold their souls for rock and roll. We'll be back in three. Stick with us. We'll talk some more.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. Short segment coming up to the top of the hour here with my special guest, Pastor Joe Schimmel. And we're talking about They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, a video that he has. You can get it off of his website. It would be www.goodfight.org. Pastor Joe, I'm kind of going through a timeline here. Yeah, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison. And we get into the Beatles and the Stones thing. And, I had mentioned about Paul McCartney, and he talked about getting these songs out of the air. I remember there was a quote in there by Keith Richard, but all of these people, and I'm talking about going down to Marilyn Manson, Queen, David Lee Roth, Bon Jovi, Snoop Dogg, Madonna, they all seem to say the same thing in one way or another. It all comes out the same. There's an entity that they're tuning into that is causing them to, they're using their body as a vessel to put forth whatever this message is of the demonic sense. Now, I go back, the first part of that video, there's an older fella, black fella, and I can't remember his name. He's back, I must have been in the 40s or so, 50s maybe.
Early. Oh, Robert Johnson, yeah.
Robert Johnson, yeah. Okay. And this guy was a blues guitarist that evidently couldn't play worth a hoot. And then and all of his friends knew he couldn't play, and then he evidently had vanished for a few months and came back, and he was the best blues guitarist in the world.
Yeah, King of the Delta Blues, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they even have his legend that he went to the crossroads and had sold his soul and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we actually have footage of people that knew him, other blues players and what have you, and talking about, how he couldn't play, and, one of them that he'd actually played with, a well-known player, said, he'd pick up the guitar and people would cry, say, please put it down, during their breaks. And he took off, disappeared for, so many months, came back and had everybody spellbound. He said, he was dropping his own jaw. Well, Robert Johnson, we even show his own lyrics, not lyrics that were, pretty typical for those days in the 30s, but where he talks about Satan knocking on his door and how he's, I'm going to beat my wife until she's satisfied, and he goes off with Satan, and how he has a hellhound on his trail, wanted to collect his soul and what have you. That became the theme of his music, and a lot of the rock stars had picked up on that, and we show clips of...
Eric Clapton is one.
Clapton and Richard saying, he's the best, he's the best ever, for his time.
Right, and I see this, and I guess, going back for a second, and you were talking about when you were an adolescent, you were a teenager, and you were learning this, you obviously, you wanted to be a good guitar player, and that's, like all the dreams of all of us, me included, when I was that age, I wanted to be a rock star, or, I wanted to be a celebrity.
Right.
And you get yourself in, you were talking about visualization, and the way that you entered into this realm is through visualizing that you were performing, on a grand scale. Is that what
No, actually, I was, I wouldn't be honest if I said I didn't want to be, huge, but I would visualize visualize success, and that would come through being better on the fretboard, a better guitar player. Although what I visualized isn't exactly what I got. I got it, but came in a totally different way. I just thought I'd become, I was pretty quick, pretty fast guitar, pretty fast with my fingers, and, play with all four fingers of my left hand and could jam. But what happened was totally different than what I expected. I just thought I'd be, I started playing Eastern music.
On a guitar or a sitar?
It's a guitar, but my music began to come out Eastern.
Okay, all right. Listen, we're going to have to take the top of the hour break. Stick with us. This is a shorter break, 2-minute break. This is Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. I'm going to open up the phones in the second hour, and you can call in if you have a question or a comment for my guest, Pastor Joe Schimmel. Stick with us. We'll be right back. This is Michael Herzog. We'll be back in 2 minutes this time. We'll talk some more with Pastor Schimmel and get into some other things that evidently he's done. A message.